Thanks so much for joining us for another edition of KFFB's Open Mic. We are talking with 1st Congressional District Congressman Rick Crawford and getting an update of what's going on in D.C. and Washington, D.C. and Iran and Iraq in the past 24 hours. And thanks so much for taking time and talking with us. And what do you know now?
Well, I think what you can see now is Iran is engaged in a full-on propaganda campaign. The nature of this attack indicates that this was done to really portray them as being counter to the United States, launching a strike. However, we were tipped off well in advance. These were ballistic missiles. There was no loss of life. The targeting was fairly benign. It certainly wasn't what you would call a U.S. military installations per se, although there was military personnel, U.S. military personnel present. So this was their way of trying to save face for their folks at home.
And that's what a lot of folks have said. You know, the 13 or 14 missiles didn't really do anything.
Well, that's the case. I mean, the nature of these weapons, the targeting, the advance notice, it's not as though they called up the White House and said, hey, we're getting ready to bomb these targets. But what they did was they notified with sufficient lead time the Iraqi folks so that those assets would communicate that to our intelligence community and we would be made aware that these strikes were imminent so that we could take the necessary precautions. Because the truth is they didn't really want to kill Americans because they know that their response would be more than they can withstand.
True. So this is actually something that some of the talking heads that were talking about last night is that this was apparent that they didn't want to hurt anything. They want to save face. And they also basically said they don't want to further this anymore, basically telling America, don't shoot any bombs, basically.
Well, exactly. And here's the other irony of this situation. Those weapons that they launched were paid for by the pallet of cash that Secretary of State Kerry and the Obama administration delivered to the Iranians. And so, I mean, let's not kid ourselves here. These guys are engaged in an aggressive propaganda campaign to try and save face at home. But the economic sanctions are the real tool here that is reaping the benefits from our perspective in that their economy is in a shambles and they really can't withstand much more of this.
Where do you see this is going to go from here?
Well, I think probably right now they're going to do everything they can to try and get the Iranian people on their side. We also see that there's evidence of really crowd building, mandatory crowd building during the Soleimani funeral. So the situation there is very fluid. I'm not sure. I haven't seen intelligence reports as yet to indicate exactly what the state is among the populace there in Iran. But we can surmise that the conditions are really, really bad for the populace there and that this does not bode well for the regime.
One other thing that they said during the funeral, 40 people lost their life in Iran.
Yeah, it's another issue that probably is worth noting. These individuals are being manipulated, coerced, and forced into making a show of support because they've welcomed in Western media, which they don't typically do, but they've done it for the coverage of this funeral. And so this has all been orchestrated to try and make a statement to the world that Soleimani was a beloved individual, that the Iranians held him in the highest esteem, and so on. The only ones I can see that hold him in high regard are CNN and MSNBC and a handful of the Democratic leadership in Washington.
When you look at the Democratic leadership, I know that you have many colleagues across the aisle. What is their feeling at this point?
Well, their feeling is whatever we can do to try and degrade the Trump administration, to try and weaken them in advance of the election, that's what we're going to do, even if it means standing against our own country. Well, in a situation like this, you would expect that we would stand as Americans above all else. I can remember, and so can you, in 1979 when this first bubbled up and the first shots were fired in this war against America that the Iranians fired on us with regard to, I'm speaking metaphorically, but also literally later on, to the hostage situation, the 400 and some odd days that those 52 hostages were held in the U.S. Embassy. That was the first salvo in the war against the great Satan. We've been in a war for that 40 years.
That's right. And one thing that we look at, too, is if you remember back, this is some broadcast trivia, ABC's Nightline began thinking it was only going to be a hostage situation for a month or so. It turned in over 440 some days that program was on the air and it made a name for Ted Koppel.
It launched Ted Koppel's career. He was a reporter, but as a personality on Nightline, he sustained that position for years as a direct result of that. And so it's really been an integral part of our culture since 1979. What I mean is the presence of the media and the coverage that we began as a result of the embassy hostage crisis.
That's true. And there's so many flashbacks. If I've talked to people all around Arkansas saying, did it not seeing the embassy being overrun and overtaken, getting into the barrier, kind of scare you thinking that's what happened in Iran that we're seeing play out in Iraq? And then you have a general from Iran in Iraq kind of pushing this whole agenda.
It's really interesting to note what's taking place here. These are Persians, not Arabs. These are Shias, not Sunnis. But for the last 40 years plus, they have been engaged in malign influence in the region. And let me give you a little inside information that probably most Americans don't know. When the embassy was stormed in 1979 in Tehran, the mullahs there that took control, they issued a fatwa and they issued a press release to throughout the nations of Islam, that propaganda that said the Americans have taken Mecca. Why that matters is because other countries, Islamic countries, for example, Pakistan, did the same thing. They stormed the embassy in Islamabad. Our Marines were successful in repelling that attack, and so they did not occupy the embassy in Pakistan. But this repeated itself throughout Islamic countries, and because they weren't successful in actually storming those embassies and taking our diplomats hostage, then that wasn't very widely reported. And so we talk a lot about the military, and we certainly know that they're doing the heavy lifting and they stand ready to be deployed at a moment's notice, and that's their job. But let's not forget about the individuals downrange that are serving in those embassies, whether that be in a diplomatic capacity or some other important national security capacity. They're there as well, and they're also in harm's way. So I want to think about our military and all of our national security personnel.
Well, Congressman, we appreciate you taking time and talking with us. I know you've got a very, very tight schedule, and it's great to get updates from Washington what's going on.
You bet. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate it.